Hello and welcome to the Collaborative Business Podcast. My name is Peter Simons and I'm your host.
Collaborative businesses are on the rise, and this is the Collaborative Business Podcast, a podcast that will help you find answers and provides useful insights to the best ways of working together in partnerships, alliances, and many other kind of business-to-business collaboration. Here's your host.
Collaboration is a journey. Those are the closing words that William Buist used in the end of our conversation that you are about to hear. William is my guest today, and is running the business Abelard Collaborative Consultancy. Only the name, the collaborative consultancy part of the name, already makes it very interesting to dive into the conversation with William. And William will describe many ways of working together, and he will describe a couple of stages that a collaboration needs before it actually becomes a collaboration. Without further ado, let's welcome William to the conversation. Well then, William, welcome to the Collaborative Business Podcast.
Hello, Peter. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. So, William, we just mentioned in the pre-chat that it's been a couple of years since we last spoke and we last met. But obviously for our listeners, you are, well, for most of them, you will be new. So help them out and introduce yourself. Who is William Buist and what do you do?
Okay, thanks, Peter. Well, as you say, my name's William Buist. I run a business called Abelard, which we describe as a collaborative consultancy. And we do that because our prime role is to help business owners and directors to develop and grow their businesses through getting real clarity around how the business is operating. And part of that is about who they need to be working with, whether that's outsourced, whether it's through suppliers, whether it's with their customers or with staff. And so we help them with the strategy around all of those things, a lot of which comes down to building collaborative relationships. And that's something I've been doing pretty much all my life when I look back and think about it. And I really enjoy helping people to do that better and to get real benefit from it. So that's me, really.
So, well, welcome. And you already mentioned some interesting words there. Almost making me ready for my next question because I heard about collaboration a couple of times and you spoke about internally, both externally. When we look for the sake of the conversation, what is for you business collaboration?
Well, I think actually it's a step on a journey that kind of starts when you realize, become conscious that you need to do something a little bit different from the way you're doing it today. And of course, all businesses are in a state of flux and change all the time. So there's often things that come along where we need to act differently, we need to think differently, we need to deal with customers in a different way, perhaps. And as we become conscious of that, we start to talk about it. We talk about it with the people we know, like and trust, with our staff, with our suppliers, with our customers, and so on. And we'll try things. And that's what I call the sort of cooperative phase of collaboration, when we start trying things and seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work, and adapting and changing and evolving. And the collaboration grows from that as the trust and the knowledge of each other develops. People start aligning their goals and their vision and thinking about trying to achieve things together rather than helping each other to achieve. You know, I could help you to achieve your things, you could help me to achieve mine. But that's not really collaboration. Collaboration is when we help us to get to our combined goals. And that's what I see developing. And it is a journey through that consciousness, through conversation, through cooperation, and finally to collaboration. When that happens, the thing that I see happen in business is that the cost of the management of the process just disappear, because when we collaborate, you know what's expected and I know what's expected, and it's the same thing. So now we don't need to keep reminding each other of what we're trying to do or how we should be going about it, because we just get on with it. And that's the real value to me in thinking collaboratively, is that it cuts the cost of doing business by a significant amount.
Interesting. So I hear it cuts the cost. But I also heard trust as an important element.
Indeed.
And you didn't use the words, but I heard something like 1 + 1 = 3.
Very much so. It is, yeah, synergistic. Yeah. It really isn't something, though, that I think people make the mistake of thinking they can start collaborating very early in a relationship. And I'm always a bit wary of that. You know, sometimes it works, but that's because the chemistry's right. But, you know, it's a bit like love at first sight. Of course, there are people who have fallen in love at first sight, but most people don't. Most people build a relationship over time, get to know each other, and find out that they have so many shared views, shared goals, shared ambitions, and so on. And it needs a bit of nurturing.
Yeah, and the relationship matures then.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. So when we look at collaborative consultancy and collaboration and your business, how important is, and it is an open door, but how important is collaboration for you and your business?
Well, it's a key part of the way we work, Peter. And by that, I mean, when we work as consultants, in other words, coming into businesses to help them get insight into a specific problem, in general, most consultants will come in, do that, and then, you know, the job is done and they leave. And they may be hired again in the future when there's another problem, or they may not. But generally what we do is that we look beyond the problem and we're looking for what are the underlying business reasons that that problem's arisen in the first place. And can we work over a longer period of time as a partner, as a collaborator, rather than just as a fixer for today's issue? Because our view is that if we can collaborate effectively, you'll have far fewer issues in the future, and therefore the business will grow faster and further than it would have done otherwise. Now, that kind of at one side of that explanation is the idea that we're going to be working together for a long period of time. And some people hearing that might think, well, that's just about getting fees over the long term. and of course, that's an element of it. And we're in business to make money. But my view on that is, if we're not saving the business regularly far more because of the collaboration, because we're working together to the same goals, than they're spending to get that collaboration, then we've really failed. And you shouldn't employ us anymore. Now, I'm very pleased to say that most of our clients are very long term. I have one client who I've been working with right from the beginning of the business, 10 years ago, and is still a very active client. You know, and many other clients we've worked with for many years, you know, up until they sell the business, perhaps. And, you know, Peter, you know of one of those where the business was sold ultimately. And that was the point when the relationship moved into a different place. But that's kind of inevitable. So, yeah, it's we take a very long term view to solving short term problems. And that's what collaboration allows you to do. And as I say, it reduces the cost of managing the business, because so much of the day-to-day management doesn't have to happen if everybody has a clear picture of what's trying to be achieved.
Yeah. So you said when you're not adding value, the customer should not hire you anymore. If I turn that around, did you ever quit an assignment because you felt you were not adding value in the collaborative relationship?
Yes, absolutely. And I think there is, you know, that if we're in a situation where what we can do isn't going to help the business, or the business isn't ready to collaborate, and sometimes that's the case. I remember a client a few years ago that we worked with for 3 or 4 months, and we were working on some new product development for them. And they concluded a few things around the way they wanted to deliver the product that just cut across my personal values. I thought that it was something that should be handled in a different way. We had a very open and honest conversation about that and agreed that our paths should separate, because our common view of the future was not aligned enough for a collaborative relationship to work. Now, I'd like to stress there was nothing they were doing that was wrong. It was just not aligned to the way that I work. And I think it's important to have open and honest conversations when that happens. Otherwise, you're trying to force collaboration when there's a disjoint in the way that you work. And that's not going to end up collaboratively. It's going to end up in a disagreement at some point. And hopefully we see those coming, and we have the open and honest conversation when we need to.
So, and I think with that you're creating a foundation for a long-term relationship and a long-term collaboration. And even with the clients where you part because the one you described, it doesn't fit at the moment, there might be engagements in the future where they come back to you because you went, you separated on in an honest and open way.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And you know, my relationship with that particular company is still strong. We still talk reasonably regularly. We we share a meal now and again and keep up with each other's news. The opportunities are always there, Peter, I think, for when things do align, to take advantage of that and to get the value from it.
And so do you also work with partners in your field to look beyond your own capabilities to offer more to a client than you can just offer yourself?
Indeed, we do. In fact, one of the things that I have done for a number of years is I go skiing with a group of people that I've met through business relationships, a thing actually that we call net ski. So it's a bit of networking and a bit of skiing. And we've been going for 6 or 7 years now, and I've built some very strong relationships as a result of spending a week in somebody's company when they're enjoying themselves socially and having meals together and the odd drink together. It's a really good way to get to know somebody very quickly. Now, out of the relationships I've built there, I'm currently in a joint venture with a lady called Bev Hamilton. And Bev is a leadership coach who really focuses on helping individuals to get clarity about the blocks in their life and the things that are causing them to struggle in business, the stories that they're telling themselves, that kind of thing. And she's brilliant at helping people to understand their own personal position and their own personal blocks. Now, I focus very much on the business end of things, but I'm working with business leaders. And my focus is about how the business is structured and how to restructure it in a way that's going to be more efficient or generate more revenue. And that's a very business focus. And Bev is a very personal focused person. So we've chosen to go into a joint venture where we're going to be taking groups of business people away for a couple of days to get them out of their business so they can focus on it for a little bit of time into a new environment where they can think a little bit differently. And I think actually coming back to one of the conversations we had before the podcast, quite a lot of that will be around walking and reflecting and reviewing what they're doing. Now, on its own, my business focus would add a lot of value to people. On its own, Bev's focus on the individual would add a lot of value to them. But put the two together, and I think we're going to be creating something really very special around helping people to really understand what is driving the way that their business currently operates and how their own lives and their own views and opinions are affecting that. So that's a very new collaboration, but I'm really looking forward to it getting into the meat of delivering to make a real difference to people, and it's really quite exciting.
It sounds indeed like 1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah, I think very much so.
Yeah. I'd like to clarify one term you used, because I know there are people listening who have probably have a different meaning to it. And
yep.
You used the word, the term joint venture a couple of times. What is for you a joint venture?
So for me, a joint venture is where Bev and I are running our own businesses. So I run Abelard, she runs a business called One Step Further. She and I are not going to run around and form a new company, at least not immediately. We're going to work together with the intention of building a product and a brand around what we're doing together as two businesses supporting each other, collaborating to develop a new opportunity. That's what I mean by joint venture. It's not about two individuals. It's not about two businesses. It's about an effective collaboration between both the businesses and the people involved in the businesses.
Okay, excellent. I understand, because there might be some people listening who feel that a joint venture is a new company where you both have the shares divided between the two of you.
Yes, and you know that may come to pass, Peter, in the fullness of time. If it makes sense to run it as a business, then that's what we will do. But in the initial phases of a joint venture, there's no need to do that.
No.
So that's why we're just taking each step as it comes and dealing with it in the right way at the time.
Okay, I understand. So is there a specific collaboration in which you've been involved in that was for you the best learning experience and taught you the most on the topic of collaborating?
One of the things that I really kind of cut my teeth on when I was learning about collaboration was in the time when I was working with a large corporate, and I was charged with managing some fairly big infrastructure projects. And you know the way that big projects work in a big organization. You know, one day there's no project, and the next day there's a team of 60 or 70 people in a room going, what did I do wrong to get picked for this project? And there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of questioning going on about what's the project for and why is it important and why does the business want to do this and why me and all of those why questions. And part of the reason that I was being picked to run these big projects is that I'd begun to understand how to bring a team together really quickly. And really that was about taking that team to understand what the goals were and getting clarity around the goals of the project and the individual's role within the project, so they could see how they added value, they could see where they fitted, they could see where they helped, and very quickly building relationships between the people too, so that they knew how to operate effectively as a team, and who had skills, who had experience, who had knowledge that would fill the gaps that each individual had. So we did that by really not starting work on the project at all, but by starting work on the team and getting that clarity and understanding. And I learnt very quickly some of the skills that were needed to build collaboration effectively as a result of that. And I've taken that learning and brought it into the small business environment, which is where I use it today.
Okay. And so you are in business now for 10 years, I believe you said, with Abelard. What was for you the moment in which you realized, and maybe it was already on the start, but what was for you the moment in which you realized that collaboration is essential for you to build your business?
Pretty soon after I left corporate life, I focused on a few projects. I'm sorry, my dog's barking in the background. I mean, you maybe hear that slightly, so I apologize for that.
That's okay. It doesn't really sound like a big, dangerous one.
So. He's a very old Springer Spaniel, and he's a bit blind and deaf these days, so he barks when he wants attention.
Okay.
So I spent some time when I first started the business with a couple of projects that we picked up fairly early on, and that was actually probably quite a dangerous time for the business, in that I kind of was lulled into a sense of false security that running a business for yourself was really quite easy, because these projects landed on my lap a little bit. And as they went on, I started realizing this common thing with small businesses, that when you're delivering, you're not selling. When you're not selling, you're not building pipeline. When you're not building pipeline, there's a point at which the money stops coming in. And pretty much as soon as that happened, I said to myself, well, what's the one thing I'm good at? I'm good at building a team around a need within a business. So let's build a team that will help generate pipeline for the people that are involved in it. And Peter, you'll remember we got involved. We were both involved with a networking organization called Academy, which was really part of the expression of that, that we were both joined the network in order to get known and to get liked and to be able to call on the help and support of people who we were happy to help and support.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's where I learned all my networking skills, really, was in that phase of needing to build a, not a formal, but a loose team that that was mutually self-supportive and helped each other when they needed to. And, you know, we've had some pretty good conversations over the years in Holland and in Belgium and in the UK as a result of building that network of people that were mutually self-supporting and helping. And that's, you know, really kind of the physical representation of the things that I believe in around collaboration, that, that those relationships will always be valuable, always be helpful, always be worth maintaining and nurturing.
Yeah, and you mentioned Beth Hamilton. I remember that she was also part of Academy.
She was indeed, yeah. So, you know, we've kind of, those relationships are built over a long period of time, and we get, you know, we get to know people both loosely, lightly, in a quite a temporary way, and over time the strong relationships develop with the people who you share values, share trust, and share ideals and goals.
Yeah, and I recognize the stages also that you described in the beginning of our conversation, and I recognize also the essential element trust, which you just mentioned again, as an important element to build that collaboration also in the long term.
Underlying all of this is trust. Without trust, none of it can happen.
Interesting. Last week I had a blog post about trust, indeed, and most of the responses were supportive. However, there was one from one particular area where he said that trust was overrated, and this person felt that trust was not that important to start a collaboration, which I obviously don't agree with. But I hear you, and I hear the same message. You don't agree with that.
I don't agree. I mean, I think there are certainly situations where you don't need trust to do business. So, for example, you know, we go to the supermarkets to buy our food. We can see the food we're buying. We don't need to trust the organization to be honest. You know, we just want to buy what we need and disappear. Better, though, if we can trust them. Better, though, if we know that they're looking after the materials, the food, that they're bringing it from close by and so on for all sorts of other reasons. But ultimately, if we're going to build a collaboration, we've got to be trusting. We've got to have a depth of trust that is much stronger, I think, even than just to do business generally. Because we start sharing values, sharing our lives, sharing our personalities, as well as just doing business.
When you look at people or organizations who are looking to enter into a collaboration, what would be your number one recommendation?
Take some time to talk, and not just about what you want to collaborate about, but about each other, about what's important to you, about the football teams you support, the weather, your children, all of the things that make human beings human, and see where that takes you, because that will let you create an environment that is trusting as well as trusted.
All right. I like that one, obviously. So when you look at... is there a business book or a book about collaboration that you would like to recommend to our listeners?
I think there's a couple of books, actually, that I've read and I think are really fundamentally really good value in terms of building relationships, building trust and building collaborations. There's a book by Stephen Covey called The Speed of Trust, That's not the same Stephen Covey that was The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. It's his son that wrote that one, but it's called The Speed of Trust. And it's really about how trusting relationships can be built quickly. And there's another book, I can't remember the author of it, but the title is A More Beautiful Question. And that's really about how to think about asking questions in a way that elicits a more thoughtful response. And to give you an example of one of the things that I learned from that book, when I'm working with clients, we quite often uncover new insights and new ideas and new thoughts. And with those new thoughts, new things can happen. Now, it'd be easy to ask a question like, so what are you going to do now? And that tends to drive people down to thinking about the actions they're going to take. Nothing wrong with that. But a more beautiful question might be, knowing these new things that we now know, what's now possible? And that question opens up a whole host of new thinking and regularly a whole host of new ideas beyond the ones we've thought of, and just widens the horizon for people. And that's what I like to do. So those two books, The Speed of Trust and A More Beautiful Question, I think I would have near me. Okay. When I wanted to think about collaboration. Now, the interesting thing I notice is that neither of those books are actually about collaboration. They're about the things that enable collaboration to happen.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting because Speed of Trust, I linked to it in the article I just mentioned, and I referred to it a couple of times. So I will link to the both books in the show notes so that people can easily find them, and I will find the author of A More Beautiful Question as well. And it sounds like a book I need to look into.
Good. Well, I'd thoroughly recommend it. So I'll dig it out and send you the details, Peter, so you can track it down quickly.
Okay. Great, William. So if people want to connect with you and find more about you and your business, where can they find you?
Well, the quick way is if you Google me, because with an unusual name like William Buist, B-U-I-S-T, it's certainly unusual in the UK, a little bit more common with you, I think, Peter. You usually find me that way. But you can get me at Abelard, that's A-B-E-L-A-R-D, -uk.com. You'll find the website there, and obviously there are links to my email address and so on. Or give me a call. You'll find me on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and all the usual social media as well. And again, the beauty of having a slightly unusual name is if you search me, you find me pretty quickly.
I recognize that. All right. Excellent. So anything I should have asked but I didn't ask, William, that you would still like to share with our listeners?
I think you've been pretty thorough, Peter. I think the only thing I'd close with is that collaboration is something that I, you know, hold very dear to my heart, and I know that you do too. And I just really kind of like to give it a context, which is that it's a journey, and I kind of mentioned that earlier, that collaborations develop out of relationships, they develop out of building trust, in my experience. And that really, if you're keen to move a relationship forward because it has all the potential of being a good collaboration in your mind, the question I think that your listeners should ask themselves is not what do I need to happen in the relationship, it's what can I do for the other person? How can I build the trust more quickly, more strongly? What do they need right now? And ask yourself how well you know them. And what else you would like to know in order to be able to help them some more. And with that focus, the collaborations will just start to happen almost automatically.
Excellent. Well, I think that's a perfect closing, William. I would like to thank you for being my guest today in the Collaborative Business Podcast.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much, Peter. Being very, very pleased and enjoyable to be here.
So far for the conversation with William Buist. As usual, everything we discussed can be found in the show notes at petersimons.com, and look for the podcast or search for William Buist. So far for this week, we'll be back next week, but before we go, please remember to hop over to iTunes and leave a review and a rating for the Collaborative Business Podcast.
Bye for now. Until next week.